Our final panelist is Abdul Al-Kalimat of 21st Century Books. He's the author of Introduction to African American Studies, a People's College Primer, and he's also one of the main organizers of this conference.
Brothers and sisters, comrades and friends, I greet you in the spirit of Malcolm. As Sister Pat said, theory is a framework to study and understand. It's a guide to action. My brief and simple remarks are summary and focus on two points. First, our radical tradition, and second, a radical method that we can find in the life and leadership of Malcolm. My concern is rebuilding a revolutionary movement, articulating a framework that maximizes our collective strength to find a universal perspective to unite us in our ideological diversity on a level of politics, political theory and action. Can we find in Malcolm the basis for unity in 1990? My first point is that the meaning of Malcolm X is to be found in the radical traditions of the African American people. He is an expression of our collective history and politics. This controversial figure, who was the most reviled and accused during his time, continues to be the only living symbol in every black community in this country, among the most radical, progressive, and militant forces. He was a special person, a gifted and original personality, but perhaps even more important, he was the personification of his people's great traditions of radicalism that live today. This is a critical perspective, because for young people today, this means not only can they know Malcolm as a great individual, but more importantly, that it is necessary to use Malcolm as an open window of opportunity to study and grasp the radical traditions of our people, and in this way embrace one of the greatest sources of change that we have to call upon. It is our argument that these traditions will continue to make great contributions in our struggle for democracy and justice in this country, politically, socially, economically, and culturally. And in this, we must grasp Malcolm's method. Now, as with all traditions, their main reason for being is survival. Specifically in this case, the survival of a people who give objective and subjective life to the traditions themselves. Every tradition serves this survival function because it reinforces the ability of the people to remain conscious of past lessons of defense against attack, identifying friends and enemies, and consolidating the people in common struggle. Maintaining tradition means reproducing these lessons in the experience of each succeeding generation. A tradition links the past to the future through the symbolic reproduction of important beliefs and practices, survival rituals that concentrate the power of culture, social institutions, and ideology. Survival is an important point to make in that for an oppressed people as ourselves, survival translates into resistance. Furthermore, the tradition is socially reproduced through the experiences of each succeeding generation, inasmuch as the exploitation and oppression out of which the tradition began continues to be experienced by each generation, even if so in new shapes and forms. In sum, black traditions are socially produced anew by each generation on an ad hoc basis and symbolically reproduced as the continuity of cultural legacy in opposition to the oppression which seeks to destroy the independent capacity of the oppressed to maintain a positive identity and have an alternative vision. Indeed, traditions of resistance are even more dangerous than leaders. This is what has always been meant by the notion that you can kill a freedom fighter, but not the desire for freedom. This desire for freedom is at the heart of the traditions of the oppressed, including black people in this country and all over the world. African American people have had five essential aspects of this tradition of survival, of resistance, reflected in their cultural experience, social institutions, and ideological reflections. And these are religiosity, nationalism, Pan-Africanism, socialism, and feminism. First, black religion. Malcolm embodies a radical morality, honest, militant rhetoric, and a vision of the good life based on spiritual freedom and social justice. This has always empowered black people to know that they were morally superior to their oppressors, no matter what. Second, black nationalism. He was committed to the consolidation of community resources, mobilization of the masses of oppressed and exploited people, or the bottom of the pile Negroes, as he called us, in the interest of self-determination. Third, Pan-Africanism. Malcolm understood that the struggle was an international struggle in which black people participated as part of the worldwide linkage of African peoples that extend to all corners of the globe. This linkage is bonded by culture from within and imposed by racism from outside. Malcolm reestablished Africa as the fundamental historical foundation for black identity in the consciousness of the black masses. In a world sense, his only peer would have been perhaps Bob Marley, that great reggae poet philosopher, in spreading this concept of identity. And socialism. Malcolm was not a Marxist by textual reference, but he was anti-capitalist, open to the search for an equitable system based on cooperation and understanding. Especially, he was interested in every socialist experiment that took us beyond the vision, beyond the capitalism we experience in this country, especially in the third world. He embraced radical thinking wherever he found it. Peculiar thing about Malcolm is that he always had an open mind. The struggle for an open mind is the greatest way to intellectually resist the hegemony of the white ruling class that tries to make us think narrowly in little categories. And, of course, the necessity of finding and firmly establishing the voice of black women in leadership positions. A seldom quoted reference in an essay by Brother Grant, who was active with Malcolm in the OAAU, to be found in this collection by John Henry Clark. And it's a short little thing, but I think it's very important. Brother, quote, Brother Malcolm called a business meeting for Saturday night, February 20th, 1965. February 20th, 1965, hours before he was assassinated at his sister's house. There were about a dozen of us present. Malcolm was very tired and restless, but he said it was important that the meeting be held. He said he wanted to make a complete reorganization of the OAAU. It had not been operating to satisfaction. The OAAU had not been able to take advantage of the attention drawn to it by his activities. And also, he wanted women to be given a more clearly defined role in the OAAU. I think there's a very important development in Malcolm's thinking to search for that way to overcome the narrowness that we have in our community, to bring forward equal leadership opportunities and expression for the sisters in our struggle in our community. Now, to grasp the cutting edge of Malcolm's tradition, his legacy, we must go within what he said to the methodology, the method. Our task is not to replicate what he did 25 years ago, but to use how he thought to guide the replication that we can carry out of a new type revolutionary intellectual activist to give leadership to our fight for liberation and social transformation today. We might well think of five critical aspects of Malcolm's method. First, critical and independent thought. He stressed that young people, each new generation of radical activists, had to forge their own perspective, had to distrust authority and forge a rigorous democratic intellectual style. He said, and I quote, "One of the first things I think young people, especially nowadays, should learn is how to see for yourself. Listen for yourself, think for yourself, then you can become an intelligent, you can make an intelligent decision for yourself. If you form the habit of going by what you hear others say about someone, instead of searching that thing out for yourself and seeing for yourself, you might well be walking east when you think you're walking west. This generation, especially of our people, has a burden, more so than at any other time in history. The most important thing that we can learn to do today is to think for ourselves. Good to keep wide open ears and listen to what everybody has to say. But when you come to make a decision, you have to weigh all that you have heard on its own and place it where it belongs and come to a decision for yourself. You'll never regret it. But if all you have to do is to examine the historic method, all you have to do is to examine the historic method used all over the world by others who have problems similar to yours. Once you see how they got theirs straight, then you know how you can get yours straight. Second point, language study. Malcolm mastered several languages and wanted to grasp more. This is the essential ingredient in the internationalism that we live every day, but we do not experience it in a united way every day. We've got brothers and sisters here who speak French because they're from Haiti. We've got brothers and sisters here from Puerto Rico and Cuba and elsewhere who speak Spanish, the Dominican Republic. The fact of the matter is that language doesn't separate black people into different groups, because our experiences objectively are the same. So this study of languages, the grasp of English and using English as a tool in the grasp of these other languages, is absolutely necessary. And a lot of times the way this system operates in America is to teach us not to learn what languages other people speak. So an aspect of the black liberation movement will have to unite people in an English-speaking and French-speaking and Creole-speaking and Spanish-speaking community into one diverse dialogue. We already hear each other's music. It's our music collectively. Let us learn these languages together. That's essentially Malcolm's message. Third, verification through facts. Malcolm lived by the dictum to seek truth from facts. This forced his ideological presuppositions to be held in check by the course of historical experience. In the black community, a trend of ideological leadership specializes in the art of rhetorical illusion based on philosophical idealism. Malcolm opposed this. He was aggressive in opting for a terrain of ideological and political struggle based on the clarity of ideas and the evidence presented in making arguments. He wasn't an isolationist. He took our cause into the mainstream anywhere because he confronted people with logic and facts. If we grasp this method, of seeking truth from facts, then being a student is an honored role, because one is then bringing clarity to black people in identifying the enemy, in identifying our need to unite and move forward, and then in moving out. Fourth point, organization. Malcolm stressed the need for independent black organization and then weaving a network of organizations Because to talk of the black liberation movement, the word movement in Malcolm's message was an organized movement. And fifth and most important of all, action must be linked to theory. Action. Malcolm was committed to not only understanding the world and all of the wrong and evil that had been done to black people, he was committed to changing the world and making it better for black people. And in his view, which is the extent of our tradition, when we fight to make the world better for ourselves, we have always made it better for everyone. Indeed, Malcolm was a supreme black crusader against the Eurocentric lie. First, as an isolationist Afrocentric zealot, but fully developed as a world anti-imperialist black nationalist warrior. He was a nationalist in his particularity, but his project was a universal project for humanity. My position, finally, is that Malcolm would have embraced the higher aspirations of the revolutionary perspective of all great revolutionary leaders. But he would never have accepted a European center of world revolution, and no text in his own individual case of ideological dogma over the Quran. However, in the world, in American society, on social, economic, and political issues, he stood for freedom, justice, and equality firmly within the tradition of revolutionary fighters for socialism and national liberation that have characterized the world since World War II up until very recently in the reversals that the comrade brother here spoke about. He would have continued to reject the neocolonial sellout, the reformist compromise. Today, there have been great reversals in this country. The masses are being forced to suffer in new and unprecedented ways, and this is forcing the youth to search for more militant leadership options. They are turning to Malcolm. The times are changing, brothers and sisters, comrades and friends. The spirit of Malcolm lives in our tradition, and it's being born anew today. On his shoulders, we can face the 21st century with confidence that victory will be ours. Remember the five sources of the radical black tradition: our religious, morality, Pan-Africanism, nationalism, socialism, and feminism. We draw strength from those sources. Remember the 5 points of Malcolm's method: death to our enemies, unite and build the struggle, revolution is possible.